Welcome back to Right Side Radio. It's already 3:30 on a Freedom Friday, you guys. Do you realize that?
It's flown by, actually.
Yeah, it has. I'm Amy Beth. She's Allison. He's JP. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Your texts are on fire, especially for a Friday. So yay for that. But even more exciting is that we are joined by the one and only Caroline Dobson.
Hey, good afternoon. How are y'all?
We're good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks. Speaking of Freedom Friday, I'm up here in Madison County, but tonight I'm going to attend the Madison County Republican Executive Committee Freedom Dinner. So it's a very, very fitting occasion for Freedom Friday.
Man, that really is.
I really thought you were going to introduce her as Pixie.
Well, I panicked second. I'm sorry, Pixie. I'm sorry.
I think we have to explain that, though.
I think we definitely have to explain that.
Because in our old life, we were known as Trixie and Dixie. And it's weird because I had forgotten where we even came up with that. But Caroline, the other night, we were together, and she reminded me that we know some twins that are actually named Trixie and Dixie. And so when Caroline came on the show last time, we were like, we're just going to give you the name Pixie. So we got Trixie, Dixie, and Pixie.
Yep.
But she, thank you so much for coming on with us today. I really appreciate it. I know you're super busy. You're doing all the things. Yeah. Abs, what did you wanted to start with?
I do. So we remember your really, you did not win, but a successful run for Congress. And you have pivoted and are running for Secretary of State. And so within the question, I'll just ask one to start. Tell me why, two questions, why run and why for this office?
Well, the experience of last year, although of course was disappointed in the outcome, although there was a lot to be grateful for on November 6th of 2024, certainly. But that experience was such a blessing because it really made me so appreciate what a tremendous state we have, and the most incredible thing about our state is the people. We have so many wonderful people in this state. And so that experience only deepened my desire to want to serve. And in thinking and praying about ways that I could do that, there was this opportunity in 2026, so many open offices, but also, I took a lot of time of prayer and reflection and discussion with my family about, I feel the call to serve, but is there an office in which I feel like I could contribute, that I could give something back to the state? And my background professionally is I'm a corporate and real estate attorney. So I interact with the Office of Secretary of State on almost a daily basis, helping clients form LLCs, file information reports, obtain certificates of existence. So that's kind of my day-to-day on the business services side. And then having been a candidate in a highly contested general election last fall, I appreciated both the framework and the legal basis of election integrity that we have here in Alabama. And I would say that we're strides ahead of other states when it comes to some of the laws we have on the books, but also the work that we have yet to do. I was very grateful. I had volunteers in poll watching in every precinct. I had folks that were well-versed in election law, attorneys, neutral election observers, in every single probate judge's office. In one county, for instance, there were 43 absentee ballots that our campaign volunteer flagged as being either fraudulent, incomplete, invalid absentee ballots. And 43 votes didn't make the difference in my election, but easily could have made the difference in a county commission race, school board race. And so there's no level of election in which election integrity doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Election integrity is crucial. It's the bedrock upon which our freedoms, our liberty, the future of our country lies. And so, I just felt having that experience and then combined with kind of interacting with the office in my day-to-day job in the private sector led me to want to serve in this role and to try to build trust in both our elections and our economy.
It's funny, we were talking earlier in the show, I don't think you were on yet, but we were talking about how nobody really knew what the Secretary of State did. Yeah. It's so different than the federal level Secretary of State.
Right.
Until really even myself, until the 2020 election. And actually after that, the organization that I started, Local Alabama, the election integrity part of it really is what got us started. And so several of us went in, we actually went to the Jefferson County Courthouse and we were able to sit down with the precinct, all the ballot accounting certificates that each precinct has to put together at the end of each election. And so basically it's a tally of, you know, this many ballots were handed out, this many ballots went through the machine. And in theory, you're supposed to balance them. So one of the precincts in Jefferson County that we came across, it didn't balance. They turned it in and said, this is great. This is good. And what was written was in the notes, we had 150 more votes than ballots. Not sure why. And that's what John Merrill at the time was calling the gold standard.
Oh, come on.
And they certified that election. So I'm curious. I think it's hard. How do you have a plan for educating these poll watchers and workers? I think most of them do a great job, but it is a lot to keep up with. There's a lot of change. But how do we keep that from happening?
Yeah, there's multi. I have a lot of different ideas that we need to do, because it's not just one silver bullet. But first and foremost, we need more consistent training. We also need to incentivize more poll workers. I don't know if you know where you vote, but where I vote, the average age of the poll worker is probably close to 80. And these are wonderful folks, you know, true patriots who have volunteered year after year, but we've got to get more people engaged. It's shocking on the campaign trail how many people think that there's just this invisible army of election day workers. Yeah. And it's like, no, election integrity rests on my shoulders and your shoulders. And we need, if you care about the state that your kid's growing up in and having good leaders, then you need to step up or encourage, you know, maybe your spouse has a flexible work schedule, be a poll worker, but we've got to have consistent training for those poll workers. And we also need a form of post-election audit. We're one of a handful of states that doesn't have any type of post-election audit. I know Joe Lovern is introducing some legislation this next session. But you know, we don't know in a lot of cases that there are problems. The audits will help us identify problems we don't know existed, but then in a lot of cases we do know there are problems. And so audits will help us get to the root of that and prevent that in the future, whether it's fraud or whether it's some clerical error or a logistical issue. Getting to the root of the problem will allow us to have more trust in the system, and making sure that we conduct audits in a way that is being a responsible and good use of taxpayer funds, of course. But the issue when you don't have trust in elections, it's not just you don't have trust that your elected officials are the ones that we, the rightful voters of this state, elected, but also it encourages disengagement. People are less likely to want to go vote, to work with their government leaders, to believe that these elected officials know that their authority comes from the people who elected them, as opposed to, you know, a political machine that fraudulently put them in place. And so when there's distrust, we can't function as a state. And so it's so incredibly important that we have ways of determining where the issues lie so that we can fix those in the future, and so that we can be transparent about it with the voting electorate.
You mentioned that your 43 votes, the absentee ballots, and I'm thinking about the Lee County election, Jay Hovey and Tom Watley, it was decided by one vote.
Unbelievable.
So you can look at the Jefferson County example and be like, I mean, it's just 150 votes. You do that across the state and it really matters. And I do think you're right that consistent training is really important. And I think that's a great start. Along those same lines, one of the things that Secretary Allen did was get us out of the ERIC system.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He, I think, started the AVID.
That's correct.
Voter ID. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are your plans for that? Do you want to keep it? Do you like what he's done? Do you have ways to add, change? What are your plans for that, for keeping voter rolls clean?
We need to be partnering and working with more states. I mean, we need to be ideally working with all 50 states to securely share information to ensure that we're removing voters from our rolls who no longer reside in Alabama. But we also need to be working with county government officials, you know, working with coroners to quickly identify voters who are deceased and remove them from our rolls. It's estimated over 58,000 Alabamians on average pass away each year. So that means that we've got to be removing thousands of voters from our rolls monthly. Mm-hmm. And then also partnering with President Trump, with ICE, to ensure that no illegal alien ever cast a ballot at any race, at any level in this state. And that's something that we are only going to see more of. I mean, think about the Biden administration, you know, millions that came across our southern border, the thousands that the Biden administration flew in from Cuba and Haiti. This is going to be a continuing issue to ensure that you know, voting is just for rightful U.S. citizens, residents of Alabama who have completed the voter registration process. And I think part of that also, I want to work with our legislature to close some of the loopholes when it comes to voter registration. I'm really mm-hmm. grateful that we have the voter ID law when you go to the polls to vote. But if we really want accurate voter rolls, we need to ensure that we never get ineligible voters on our rolls in the first place. So we need more proof of citizenship, of identity, and of residency when you register to vote. So we're never getting people on our rolls in the first place that don't belong there, other than people who are deceased, obviously, or people who move away. And mm-hmm. again, making sure that we're partnering with other states to share that information so that we know when people leave the state and no longer reside here.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
We have to take a break. I don't know if you can stick with us.
Yeah, I can. I'd love to. Okay. If you'll have me.
Yeah. I've got some business fee questions.
Yes, yes. And I may have $100 adoption questions.
Is a lot.
To change your address. Oh, absolutely.
Like to change a name. And then the adoption work, a lot of people don't know the Secretary of State is very involved and coordinates or handles the adoption paperwork. And that That's is great. Very important to yes. myself and Amy Beth. So if you can stick around, that'd be great. Yes, we'll go to a quick break and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Right Side. I'm actually Dixie with Trixie, and we're joined by Pixie. So we're just having a Friday talking about all the things in your race, Caroline. And so I was adopted, have adopted siblings. And mm-hmm. Allison, as an adoptive parent, I think people would be surprised to know that you facilitate adoptions. Could you just share with our listeners, and maybe just by way of reminder, the things that you do in that regard?
That's right. No, I think the vast majority of Alabamians are unaware of the role that the Secretary of State plays in adoptions, alongside the judiciary. But that's what I would love to, you know, and again, the Office of Secretary of State has been around for over 200 years, longer than Alabama was a state. There was a secretary of the territory of Alabama. So, you know, over the course of those 200 years, there are a lot of discrete duties that the Secretary of State's office has been entrusted with. And, you know, in my opinion, there's you know, none more important than elections and then adoptions. And so so it's incredibly important. And what I would love to do, too, is also try to form a focus group or a task force to help the growing number of families, unfortunately, of non-parent family members who are raising children as a result of the opioid and fentanyl crisis. Mm-hmm. And so I think we see a growing population of grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins that are raising kids whose parents are either deceased or who are addicts. Wow. And these people are in the shadows. They're under the radar. There are a lot of wonderful organizations here in Madison County, where I am today. Kids to Love, a phenomenal story. Lee Marshall, who was in foster care as a child, and so she has taken her experience and has helped over 300,000 children in the time that Kids to Love has been around. It's truly an incredible story. That's just one example of some tremendous organizations in this state. But for a lot of these grandparents, aunts, uncles raising kids, you know, they don't know about these organizations because these children aren't going through any sort of official placement process. And in a lot of these cases, you know, being raised by a family member is the ideal situation, but how do we help ensure that these families are getting the support that they need, that these kids are having the opportunities that they need. And in a lot of cases too, you know, the grandparents are senior citizens. They might be living in senior housing, which then becomes jeopardized by raising a grandchild and bringing a minor into the home. And so how can we help serve the needs of these Alabamians? So that's just, again, another way in which the Office of Secretary of State, it is a tremendously important office, but a lot of folks don't realize how it touches them. I mean, first and foremost, with respect to every single one of us, the right to vote. That is the unique and sacred right of every single U.S. citizen. But also, you know, so many of us, I lost a godbrother to fentanyl. I mean, it's really hard to find anyone who hasn't been impacted by the fentanyl crisis, especially, you know, in the last couple of decades as we've seen it develop. And how can we help serve these families?
Wow.
Totally shifting gears, and we've got about 2 minutes left, right, JP? 1 minute. Okay, quickly, because I need to change some paperwork on one of my organizations, but I've been putting it off because I do not want to give the state any more money, which is awful, but it's $100 to change a name on a form.
That's right.
I don't even know what that money is used for. Do you plan to keep that rate? Maybe you could tell me that it's used for, like, to save the children. I would pay
for
the
good
fee
and not evil.
Yes.
No. It is a very central plank of my platform, and I experience this because I have clients who are experience sticker shock daily. It's, you know, I my name was misspelled. I want to correct the spelling of my name, or I've moved. I need to update my address. It'll cost you $100. That is absolutely it's a travesty, and it's not helping the small businesses that are the backbone of our economy. Those are the majority of my clients. That's how I've spent my career. I'm the daughter of two small business owners. So it's within the jurisdiction of the Secretary of State to unilaterally be able to reduce some fees. And I plan to reduce every fee that I have unilateral jurisdiction to do. For others that I have to have legislative consent, I'll be hammering our legislators to reduce these fees to make them more accessible, more affordable for people to start and grow and operate businesses. So to answer your question too, those fees go to fund the Office of Secretary of State. And Secretary of State is self-sufficient. It does not get money from the general fund budget. But you know, in the office, the functions are very important. Election integrity, business services, adoption, so many other roles. But to make up that, I want to work with our legislature to try to get more Alabama corporations to actually be incorporated in Alabama. Okay. And be shocked at the number of big businesses that were started in this state, that operate, headquartered in this state, that are incorporated in Delaware, in New York. They're rethinking that given the politics of Delaware and New York.
We've lost Caroline. We've got, if you, we'll give your website on the other side. We've got to go to a break. This is why radio is difficult sometimes. And there she goes. She's gone.
Okay.
But we've got to go to a break. I will give the website on the other side.
Yes, we will.
And where you can find more about Caroline. But thank you to Caroline Dobson for joining us today. We'll see you on the other side. We'll be right back.